words, if you just learn them, 1/7 of the whole Quran is done. So now this is our goal, that we should, you know, not only should we do the translation, we should also be able to do it ourselves as well. And the goal is that, you know, whenever we're listening to the Quran, we should be able to understand the Quran. So now that is why we have workbooks. You all must have workbooks. You all must be writing down the translation. And we will definitely be starting off with you guys doing the translation first. And then we go on to the next topic. Now, just look at this. This is a new ayah that we will be... No, this is the last ayah that we did. Okay? And we've been doing this for the last 2 weeks. So today, inshallah, we'll definitely move on. But if you just look at this last ayah, or even if you look at this ayah, this new ayah that we will be doing, we'll be doing two ayahs today. لَيْسُ سَوَاءٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. People of the book. The Ahl al-Kitab, the people of the book. Now, this min is there, I think, at least 600 to 700 times, even more. So if you learn min, you knock down about 1,000 words out of the 77,000 words there. Right? Allah is there around 1,000 times, even more than 1,000 times. So another 1,000 words right there. Right? Wahum. Wahum is again 1,000 words. So out of those 77,000 words, if you know the translation of this one ayah, I think you will be able to knock down 5,000 to 6,000 words. Right there. Yu'minun again is there hundreds of times in the Quran. Yawmil Akhir again is there hundreds of times in the Quran. An is there 100 times in the Quran. Fi is there hundreds of times in the Quran. If you know the translation of these two ayahs, you've knocked down 10,000 words, at least, or almost 10,000 words. So this is what we are thinking about, that if we, and our friends, our scholars here are deriving, of course, that if you, it is going to be about a 30-40 day course. And in those 30 days, this is our plan. 30 days, you will learn the whole of the Quran, the translation of all of the Quran. And guess what? We'll first do a test run on you guys, and then we'll move on to other people. So they're doing it.
Is this going to be on the weekend?
Well, we'll do it on the weekends. It'll be 30 classes, and in 30 classes, I told them, oh, can you do it in 15 classes, and they said, please forgive us. We can't do it in 15 classes, but at least give us 30 classes. So maybe about 20, 22 classes. In 20 or 22 classes, you will be able to understand all of the Quran, inshallah. So this is the goal. So we'll do a test run on you guys first. But even before we start that, because this is under, you know, that course is under process now. But even before we start that, you know, this is what it is. If you learn these two ayahs, you've knocked down 10,000 out of 77,000 words right there. So you see, your often repeated words, hai na? Like min, fi, an, yu'minun, al-layl, wahum, ahl al-kitab. You know, all these are often, ulaika is there. Again, 1,000 times in the Quran. Thousands of times in the Quran. So that's what it is. So now, we will move on to today's class. We did the translation of the last class. You know, the last class was also based on the previous class. So we'll move on to the new sabak. And this is our new sabak. And let's start on the new sabak. Alhamdulillah, Mustafa. Actually, before we move on to the new sabak, yeah, let's just move on to the new sabak. Alhamdulillah, Mustafa. السلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ليسوا سواء من أهل الكتاب أمة قائمة يتلون آيات الله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد
وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
If you look at these two ayahs that we're doing today, generally we do one ayah, today we're doing two ayahs. And there's a reason for it. In these two ayahs, Allah is mentioning five signs of those people who are salihin. Five signs of the salihin. Salihin are people who are very pious, very close to Allah. They are salih people. And Allah has given five signs, but those five signs are split into these two ayahs. So that is why we're doing these two ayahs together. We'll start with the first one. لَيْسُ سَوَاءً مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. That not all the people of the book are the same. أُمَّةٌ قَائِمَةٌ. And there are those who are steadfast. Right? Qa'ima means those who are standing, but Qa'ima also means steadfast. يَتْلُونَ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. And they recite the ayahs of Allah. They recite the signs of the verses of Allah. Ana al-layl, in the night hours. Wahum yasjudun, and they prostrate themselves. Now, before we move, both these ayahs actually describe the five signs of the salihin. But before we move on, there's one question that arises here. If you look at the translation here, Allah Ta'ala says, لَيْسُ سَوَاءً مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. Not all the people of the book are bad. Not all of them are alike. What is it? There is a number of people in the people of the book, قَائِمَةٌ, who are steadfast. يَتْلُونَ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ, and they recite the verses of Allah in the night time, and they prostrate themselves. Now Allah is praising the people of the book, right? So now all of you are now concentrating towards the translation and not concentrating on this. I need your concentration here. So in this ayah, because I repeat the translation at the end as well, so inshallah, it's not going to go away, and you can, you know, it's a click away. If you want the internet, you will be able to find the translation. But this is also important. The question arises here, Allah Ta'ala is praising the Ahlul Kitab. Not all the people of the book are the same. There are some who recite the verses of Allah at night, and who do sajda. So that means that these people of the book, even if they do not accept Islam, they are fine, we are fine with them, and they, because they prostrate at the night and they recite the verses of Allah, whatever has been given to them. Is that what this ayah means? And the Mufassireen have given an answer. That this does not mean that if they do not accept the Quran, and if they do not accept the, you know, our Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah is saying that, okay, they are also fine, and Allah accepts them, and they are people who prostrate themselves. Instead, the Mufassireen have said that these are those Ahl al-Kitab who have accepted Islam. The Ahl al-Kitab that Allah is praising here are those people who have accepted Islam. Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatum, has said that it is people like Abdullah ibn Sabah. He was a Jewish man and then he accepted Islam. Then there are people like, you know, Salman Farsi, and there was Suhaib Rumi. These were people who were from the other religions and they accepted Islam. And as soon as they accepted Islam, they became people of a lot of worship. They would recite the Quran all of the night, and they would do sajda all of night. And then Allah mentions they will do this, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and they believe in Allah and the Day of Judgment. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. These are the people who give dawah to other people. وَيُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. So any good thing that they have to do, they will rush towards doing these good things. So that means they are people of the book, but as soon as they accepted Islam, they became very staunch. And in a hadith it comes that the reward for a good deed is that Allah gives you the opportunity of doing another good deed. And the punishment of a bad deed is that Allah puts you into another bad deed. So this is what it is. These people, they jumped from, you know, from being in another religion, from being a Christian or a Jew, to becoming a Muslim. And they did this, they took this big step for Allah, and Allah gave them this opportunity of doing all these good deeds. They became very staunch Muslims. And even today you will see that those people who accept Islam from some other religion, they become very staunch Muslims. Why? Because they've done a very big good deed, and Allah Ta'ala gives them the opportunity of doing another good deed. That is why the ulama said those people who reduce the number of sins that they do, their desire to worship Allah increases. So some people say, I try and I cannot worship Allah. I cannot wake up. I don't enjoy my prayers even when I'm praying. Why does this happen? Because we do a lot of sins. If you reduce the number of sins, then the enjoyment in worshiping Allah, waking up in the Fajr time, waking up at the Tahajjud time, all of these things, they become very easy. So now these are the five signs of the Allah, and Allah is saying, وَأُولَٰئِكَ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. They're not just normal Muslims. These people of the book who came into Islam, they did all these five things, they are from among the Salihin. Right? So now what are those five things? And we can move on to the five things. This I am not doing today because we've already done this. So I've moved on to these five things. The first thing is, Allah Ta'ala mentions, يَتْلُونَ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. What was the beautiful thing that these people of the book, they did after accepting Islam? That they would recite the ayahs of Allah. And this recitation of the Quran abundantly is a sign of the Salihin. Right? Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, obviously one of the biggest imams of the history, he traveled from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwarah, and it was a 16-day travel, and his recitation was, and his desire for recitation and his enjoyment in recitation was such, in 16 days while traveling on a camel, he completed the Quran 16 times. So the sign of the solid person is that he will never ever be, you know, he will never ever be filled up with his desire, or he will never be, you know, his desire for the Quran will never deteriorate. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, it is said in Ramadan he would recite the Quran 63 times. Now 63 times is a very big number, and people often ask this question, how he would do it. So he would recite the Quran once in the day, recite one at night, so in 30 days 60 times, and he would also lead Tarawih prayers in his masjid. So every 10 days of Ramadan he would complete one Quran. So in this way he would complete 63 times the recitation of the Quran. That is why in the hadith it comes that there's nothing more than the recitation of the Quran which lights up your heart. There's nothing else which is more, which lights up your heart more than the recitation of the Quran. That is why those people who recite the Quran, they're ready to do all types of good deeds. So five signs of the Salihin, and the first one is, what is it? The recitation of the Quran, the tilawat of the Quran. And the second sign is, وَهُمْ يَسْجُدُونَ. What do they do? They do sajda, and by sajda it means they are in salah, because sajda is a big part of the salah. And in the hadith it comes that the sahaba, they were sitting with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there was a stream that was passing by. Water was flowing in that stream. And when the Prophet saw that, the Prophet asked this question to his Sahaba. Tell me, what if somebody showers in the stream five times every day? Do you think there will be any filth, any dirt left on his body? And the companions, they answered, O Prophet of Allah, if somebody showers 5 times in the stream, then there will be no dirt left on his body. So the Prophet ﷺ then said, same is the case of the person who prays 5 times a day. Not a single speck of dirt of sins is left on his body. So this is the best gift that one can get. If you have the habit of worshipping 5 times a day. If you're a parent, this is the best gift you can give. You can give to your child. And this is something, it is because it is something spiritual. It touches your spirit. That is why people who are of young age, when the parents force them into prayers, and when they keep on praying, and then there's no parents, because now they're in university and they're abroad or wherever they are, they still keep on praying. Why? Because somehow in their spirit, when they don't pray, they feel empty from inside. So because now their spirit is used to this prayer, just like the body is used to eating food, right? So when the child is young, the mother is forcing you, please eat, please drink milk, please do this and that. This is what the mother does every time, you know, to all young children. Why is my child not eating food? But when he grows up, does he need his mother? No, because he's used to eating food. So because the body requires food, this is the same case with the spirit. The spirit, once it is used to doing the zikr of Allah, the spirit is used to remembering Allah, doing salat, reciting the Quran, all these things, doing sajda. Now, even if there's nobody telling you to do this, you will still not be able to stop yourself. I know people who will fight with others if they're stopped from worshipping. So this person I know, and he's a sheikh, mashallah. And he's an old friend of mine. And he was traveling by bus. And, you know, the driver of the bus, it was time for Maghrib prayers, and the time was actually very short. And he was not stopping the bus. And this man was pleading to him that, please stop the bus, I need to pray. Finally, the driver said, you know, that my boss has told me that I cannot stop this bus. And he became so upset at that. He said, well, my boss has told me that I have to pray 5 times. When he said this, all the people in the bus, they told the driver, please let him pray 5 times. So they stopped the bus. So this is what happens when your spirit is used to these things. Used to worshiping, used to doing the zikr, used to all these things, reciting the Quran, doing the zikr, salat, all these things are spiritual food. So if the parents are forcing their children to having the spiritual food, they also force them to have this physical food as well, right? So it is their duty to force them into both types of foods. And then when they will grow up, they will not stop. They will need it. And even if they stop, at some point when they do it again, they will find that it is very comforting for them. I know so many people, and sometimes they don't pray, but because they're so used to praying, and sometimes they are lax in it. But they tell you that whenever I pray, I feel very much at ease. So this is what it is. It's a sign of the Salihin. And in the hadith the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned, what is the sign of the Salihin? The Prophet ﷺ has said that the one who prays the Hajj, that عَلَيْكُمْ بِقَيَامِ اللَّيْلِ, then it is incumbent upon you to wake up for tahajjud prayers. فَإِنَّهُ دَابُ الصَّالِحِ. This is the sign of the Salihin. So tahajjud prayers is also the sign of the Salihin. Those people who wake up for tahajjud prayers, no matter what you give them, no matter how much money you give them, they will not stop worshipping at the time of tahajjud prayers. Because the amount of tranquility that one gets and the amount of peace those people who pray the Hajj. That is why Shah Waliullah Rahimahullah, he called out these Mughal emperors. He said, oh, you Mughal emperors, if you find out how much peace there is in our hearts, you will actually, first of all, try to conquer our hearts. You'll try to get these hearts. And why are these hearts at so much peace and tranquility? Because they've had so much of this spiritual food. So again, five signs of the Salihin. The first sign is that they would recite the Quran. And the second sign is that they would do a lot of sajda. There's a question here. Allah Ta'ala mentions, يَتْلُونَ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ, that they would recite the Quran at the night time. Is that the best time for reciting the Quran? There's a difference of opinion. Because there's an ayah of the Quran that Allah mentions as pious people. And ma Quran al Fajr, that the time for reciting the Quran is Fajr time. So the Mashayikh have said that there's no problem. Both are very good times. If somebody recites the Quran at the Hajj time, that is also very good. If somebody recites the Hajj at Fajr time, that is also equally good. You know, these are both times. In a hadith, it comes when a person is reciting the Quran. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to it. As if people who love music, they are listening to music. This is how Allah listens to a person when he's reciting. In a hadith, it comes when somebody recites the Surah Al-Fatiha. When he says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah replies to that person. Then when he says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah replies. So among all the ayahs of the Quran, the most loved by Allah is the Fatiha. And the Sahaba, they say, that once we were caught up at this island, and there were people who were unknown, and they didn't even speak our language. And they actually kidnapped all the Sahaba. There were like 10 of them. And they were kidnapped and brought in front of their leader. And there were people of the jungle, like, you know, they were wearing different clothes and they had a different language. And this is, all of this was, you know, described by the Sahaba to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam when they came back. They said, oh Messenger, they were so different people. We could not understand their language. And the types of clothes they were wearing, we never could ever imagine. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, how did you get out of it? And they said, you know what happened? Their leader, they somehow explained to us that his wife or some elderly person of the leader was very sick. And they said, if you can get him to become all right, healthy again, then we can leave you. Then we can actually let you go. So the Prophet said, what did you guys do? They said, well, what we did was, we did mashwara. And then finally, after mashwara, this is what we did. We recited the Fatiha 7 times, and we blew on that person. And then we made dua to Allah, and this person became completely healthy. And then they let us off, and we are here with you. Otherwise, we don't think that we would have ever been able to see you again. So their biggest concern was to look at the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of the love they had for the Messenger. So they were not concerned that we'll be kidnapped and what's going to happen to us and what's going to happen to our family. Their biggest concern was that we will not be able to meet with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this is what they did. So such power there is in the Suratul Fatiha. So that is why when people say that, okay, I need to go to such and such person, he's going to, you know, do something to me and somehow I'll become healthy. There's nothing happening. You just have to recite this Fatiha. And if you recite this Fatiha, there's so much blessings in it. So again, five things which are signs of the Salihin. The first one is recitation of the Quran. And the second one is reciting the, doing a lot of sajdas and doing all of these prayers. Now, there's two things I'm going to mention and then we'll stop our class today. The last three things, I think we'll have to go on to the next class for those last three things. Now, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, it is said 40 years of his life, he would make wuzu for Isha prayers and he would pray the Fajr prayers with that same wuzu. He would spend the whole night in ibadah. And there was a sheikh by the name of Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi Rahimahullah. And he was also a person of worship at night. And he had so much, he would have so much enjoyment in this worship. The spirit was so, so pious. That he said,
that when I do sajda, it seems as if I have put my head on Allah's feet. And in hadith it comes that when the mu'min does sajda, it is like as if he's put his head on Allah's feet. So he says, I could actually feel this. Then he says that if Allah grants me Jannah, then I will not ask for any whores, or I will not ask for beautiful houses. What I'm going to ask Allah in Jannah, that Allah grants me a small place for doing sajda under His throne, under His arsh. So these are the people who enjoyed worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do we not enjoy worshipping Allah? Because the way a person does not enjoy eating when he is sick, right? So when the body is sick, you don't enjoy eating physical foods. And when the ruh, when the spirit is sick, then you don't enjoy eating spiritual food. And the spiritual food is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us this tawfiq of doing worship of Allah. So we've done two out of five things. The last three things are also very important, so I don't want to rush through it. So we're going to go through these the next class. I will do the